You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 36.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Karen Scarpula. From a young age, Karen always felt she had a path to fulfill and a sense of responsibility to make a difference in the world. When Karen was 18 months old, she fell from the third floor hallway of her parents' apartment. Miraculously, she survived the fall, which is bruised kneecaps and a large bump on her forehead. Later in life, she knew she had been spared in what could have been a horrible accident. She was aware that her life was a gift and her true path was to make a difference. Fast forward to 2011, her ex-husband is dying of cancer, and she and her children move back in with him to live as a family while he battles this disease. It is during this experience that Karen envisioned her true path. She realized that of all her experiences, good and bad, and her career pursuits have aligned for this defining moment. Her book, Walking Toward the Light, is about her journey through this forgiveness and death. Welcome, Karen, to Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Kimberly.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to hear your story. And I will share initially with my listeners that we have a mind, body, spirit person with some marketing background. So this is going to be an interview full of information. So I'm excited to hear it. But I would love to initially hear about your personal journey and how you went down the path to being a forgiveness expert in creating Walking Beyond.
So it's a very interesting story. My ex-husband 2 years ago was diagnosed, well, actually 3 years ago now, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And we were divorced and we're not living together as a family. And I made the brave decision to move in with him with my children so that they could spend quality time with their father for 10 months before he passed. And during that process, I really learned what it was to forgive. I thought I had forgiven him, but hadn't really done it. And during that process and that time together, we learned as a family what it meant. And I felt such a strong sense of urgency afterwards and an absolute pull to share what I had learned with other people. It was such an interesting chain of events, and there was a lot of synchronistic moments that happened that brought us all together. And so I was encouraged to write a book about it, which was really my first moment, kind of aha moment. Well, I'm going to write a book. And I remember having tea with a friend, and I said, so what do I do after this? Like, what? I'm going to write a book, and I'm a one book wonder, and I don't understand. How do you build a career out of this? And she said, well, don't you have more experiences to share? And I really see you being somebody who'll speak and do seminars and workshops. And that really, for me, Kimberly, was like the light bulb moment. And I remember I went back because of my marketing background and I completely mind mapped this entire business plan of, you know, creating workshops and seminars and online curriculum and writing multiple books that deal with different topics like forgiveness and grief. And that's really where it all started.
That's fantastic. Isn't it amazing? It just takes one person to make one comment to us. And we're like, oh, yeah, life changing.
And it's like so clear. Like all of a sudden you see it so clearly. And I just really haven't ever looked back. And it's been an amazing 2 years. I'm 2 years into building my brand. And it's been a great, great journey.
That's so great. So we kind of knew the turning point, but what was there's always that moment where you go, yes, that's what I should be doing. But now how do I transition from where I am in my normal, regular life into my life's passion? What was that transition like for you?
So fortunately for me, I owned my own marketing company at the time. And so I was very easily able to, in addition to running all of the marketing projects for my small business owners, and my marketing company focused on helping small business owners create marketing strategies and come up with marketing communications so that they could look like bigger players in their space and help win corporate contracts. So I had that marketing background, and so I really had both feet, you know, 1 foot in each business at the time. And as I finished writing the first book and went to market with that, I started to get busier with that side of the business. And I just started ramping back on the marketing projects. I still, to this day, have a handful of clients that I do marketing for, but that takes up far less of my time. Now my books and my workshops take up the majority of my time. So I was fortunate. Not everyone is so fortunate. A lot of people will have a full-time job. And I caution people to try to keep your full-time job as long as you can, because nobody's getting rich being an author. You know, it's all the other products around being an author that help drive revenue.
It's that platform. If you don't have the full platform, then it's not going to happen.
Totally. I mean, if you really just think you're going to write a book because you really, really want to write a book, then just really write a book. But don't jump off, because a book sales is never going to drive enough revenue to allow you to retire. That's just the reality of being an author.
Yep. So having the marketing background and then moving into mind, body, spirit, what are the challenges that you see? And you may not see them as much, but what do you see are the challenges moving into a mind, body, spirit arena and trying to market, or what your colleagues struggle with because they don't have the marketing and business background?
So I think probably one of the biggest hurdles for people that don't have a marketing background that are in this space is to really understand that you are your brand. So everything you do and everything you are is your brand. That is you. That's your brand. That's your company. You have to really think of yourself as a business, and to really know that every time you are sending an email or you're having a conversation or you're out networking, and a lot of authors or a lot of people that are in the mind, body, spirit space are really uncomfortable networking. But unless you have those key components where you're networking, driving email communication, and also incorporating social media and have all three of those working for you, you're not going to be able to build a platform that's going to be able to sustain you. And even myself, I have to be honest, when I first started, I really struggled with making myself a brand. And I'd been in marketing, but it had always been from making my business a brand. Well, when you are in mind, body, spirit, you are your brand. Everything you say is you. You're the corporation. And that was a hard transition for me to make. Today, I'm firmly enmeshed in it, and I am very comfortable about it. But initially, that was kind of even a struggle for me. To how open are you with people, and how transparent, and kind of setting up boundaries for yourself with your social media. So that's one of the bigger things I struggled with, but is sort of something that everyone seems to struggle with, I think.
Right. It's that being authentic with our customers and opening. I say it's a bearing a bit of our soul. And that's a tough thing to do for some people.
It is. And I think it's a hard thing when you have a family to weigh, you know, being authentic and transparent and sharing pieces of yourself so people can connect with you. Because in the mind, body, spirit space, it's all about people connecting with you. And if they don't feel your authentic, and if you're not being, they don't feel you're being truly honest and open with them, it's hard for them to connect, and it's very hard to build your following then.
Absolutely. Yeah. They want to know who they're talking to.
Exactly. They want to know that you're a real person.
Yeah. So for you, who is your ideal client and what are the marketing strategies that have worked best for you in reaching that ideal client?
So my ideal client right now, when we're talking about my first book and being a forgiveness expert, my ideal client really is someone who's open to wanting to forgive. So, you know, unfortunately, that means someone who's probably in pain and is hungry for knowledge and is ready to really embrace forgiveness. The way that I go after those or I don't even seek out those clients, but the way that I make myself sort of available or look for those customers or clients is through social media. I host a closed group called Walking Towards Forgiveness, and people are always reaching out to me and saying, will you invite my friend? Will you invite my family member to be part of the group? People also will see my information or follow me on social media, and I'll get cues from them to include their friends, or will you reach out to my friend? So it's very much for me a grassroots effort of growing my following and looking for those clients.
That's great. Yeah, it's that social media. What would we do without it?
I know. It would be very difficult these days. Can you imagine going door to door?
Come work with me.
Yes.
So what specifically is working for you in social media? Is there one platform that works better for you than another?
So I'm having a lot of engagement. I think social media kind of goes in trends. I see ebbs and flows. Right now, I'm having a lot of engagement through Facebook, and that just, I think, is where my readership tends to be. My readership tends to be the 30 to 60 bracket. So that they're all using Facebook. That seems to work. Not having as much success with Twitter or LinkedIn. LinkedIn's, you know, more of a business, but it's starting to get some play with mind, body, spirit, but not as much as Facebook these days. And I tend to get a lot of people engaging, and I'm sure other people will find this the case with photos whenever I use a photo or whenever I create video. Those are huge. People just love photos and video.
Isn't it funny? Like, we don't even read on Facebook anymore. We just want a video or photo.
Yeah, I want to call it Mick Facebook because it's really like sound bites. Like, everything is bites and bits of information, and it's creating information that's meaningful, like that one sentence grabber or that one teaser headline to get them to play your video that's not going to be more than a minute long, right?
Right. It's it's pretty interesting. And it's what's horrible is I catch myself even. I'll look at a video, it's like 5 minutes. I'm like, I don't have 5 minutes, and I won't watch it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm as bad as everyone else.
Well, that's the reality of life today, you know?
So how are you determining your marketing budget? And are you using some of that budget to advertise on social media, or are you just using engagement on social media?
So right now, I'm just using engagement on social media. Initially, we did some test runs with doing posting boosting and ads on specifically Facebook. And I had absolutely no upswing in revenue, either people purchasing books or even engagement. I would get engagement, but it wasn't converting to people becoming followers. So for me, that's not working as well as just consistently posting. I post, if I don't post one day, I can see book sales fall off, engagement completely falls off. So I'm posting every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day.
That's great. And I love to point out that you know that you're looking at your trends and you can see that, because that's something that people seem to, I don't know, we don't, in mind, body, spirit, I find we're not too fascinated with the numbers. We just know we make money. We don't know where it comes from.
And well, so that, and you listen, know that. that's not the fun part of the business, right? So who enjoys that? But when you're looking at having to spend money for marketing or to spend money, I've heard of people paying money to, you know, create followers, right? Or to buy followers on Twitter or Facebook. That can be a very expensive proposition, and you're not necessarily getting the followers that are going to stick with you. So it doesn't have the kind of payoff that you're creating. And are you converting those followers to actually be customers of yours that are buying your products, your books, your CDs, your online curriculum? Are they going to your seminars? And fortunately, Facebook, they give you all sorts of, you can follow your numbers. You can look at exactly what the engagement is. And my books are all on Amazon. I can go in and see hourly what book sales are doing.
It's fantastic, the tools that we have available to be able to monitor everything.
It is great. It is wonderful. But, you know, again, you have to take the time to do that. I don't do it every day because honestly, it can get a little tedious. But when I'm doing a promotion around something, I'll definitely go in and check the numbers at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day and just see, you know, what was a big post. Or you can look for the week when you post something, go in and check. So what did my post look like for the week? How many people, you know, clicked like? How many people commented on a post? And that can kind of help you gauge what your followers are looking for because you want to keep them engaged with you. So yeah, it's providing content they want.
How are you converting the people on social media over to your list?
So we actually we're in the process of putting a plan together to do that. I have not been great at doing that, but I will share with you, I recently came up with an idea of creating very small giveaways for my followers and posting them on social media. Also taking my email list that I have of, you know, friends, family, your sphere of influence, your circle of influence, and pushing them to my website. And if they become a subscriber, they get the first chapter of the next book, or they get a sneak peek at the next thing that's on the plan for writing, you know, book number 3 or whatever it might be that I'm getting ready to do. Or I might give a free meditation away in order to get them to come over, but they have to actually subscribe. And then once I have that subscription base, I can then I can transfer those people to social media. I can send them direct communications that are customized. So I'm in the process of starting to move my followers over to my subscription list.
That's so key. And I always try to remind everybody, your followers are not yours. They belong to social media.
Because Facebook
can pull them at any moment if they so choose.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you don't know how long they're going to follow you, and you don't know how long you show up in their newsfeed.
Yeah.
You know, people can stop following you at any point and you don't really have any idea that they're not. So it's I have not spent time doing that, and I could kick myself now, but you know, there are only so many hours in the day.
Absolutely. So are you doing live events, and how are you gaining customers from your live events?
So I am doing live events. I just moved to California, actually, from Chicago a couple of weeks ago. And I launched my first live events in Chicago. We did a test workshop. And from that test workshop, I very quickly saw how I wanted to structure live events. So I've created a 1-hour seminar and a 4-hour workshop. And the idea is to conduct 1-hour seminars in front of people. Again, I find people to attend the workshops through social media. Also doing my own emails to my sphere of influence and asking them to invite their friends or to forward the email along to their friends. And I bring people to that 1-hour workshop. During that 1-hour workshop, I work to convert those people who have attended that to the 4-hour workshop, which is a longer workshop. It's more in depth. It's more serious work. And it also has a larger price tag associated with it.
Great. You know, there's something about doing the workshops, the face-to-face, that conversion rate is usually really, really good. And that's something people forget. Even just go create your own meetup group and start talking.
Well, and I've been very pleasantly surprised. I started a group online through social media. It's a Facebook group, but it's a closed group. And it started as a forgiveness group. And people, the conversations that happen there are so wonderful. And from creating that group and seeing how hungry people are for the information, now after doing the live seminars, I'm currently working on creating online video series so that people can do this in the privacy of their own home if they want. People that can't travel to a workshop, people that are in more remote areas where I wouldn't necessarily go to do a workshop, will be able to get access to the same information they get as if they were attending a workshop.
That's fantastic. And that passive income doesn't hurt either.
Exactly. Exactly.
Should be everybody's goal, passive income.
Well, you got to have the right mix of revenue and everything. I'm a big, because of my marketing background, I'm a big leverage everything you have. So, you know, for me, my platform and brand started with the book. But the book was really the starting point for creating a much larger vision I had, which was inspiring people to forgive. But I really always saw myself as being that face-to-face person. I want to go talk in front of hundreds of people. I want to inspire hundreds of people to forgive. So the book was really just sort of the launching pad. But I use everything in that book to create the workshops, to create my online curriculum, to create social media. I will create videos from the book. I'll share quotes from the book. So it's leveraging everything that you have in that mind, body, spirit space that you have and creating as much pieces of information as you can give people.
That's great. And so let's talk a little bit about your books. You have three out there in a series. Let's talk about your creation of them. And I know you started with you actually started with Steps to Forgiveness, right? That was the first book?
No, I actually started with Walking Toward the Light.
I was right the first time. I should have just gone with what I knew.
And that book is really, it's a memoir. It's the story of our time together as a family living together for 10 months. And it's a month-by-month account of how we got through that time. And I share what it's like to live with somebody who's terminally ill and to help them die. And I share what it's like to have hospice involved and the things a family goes through when you let somebody die at home. It's a really intimate experience. It's very much a memoir. I don't like to bill it as a memoir, but it is. It's our story. From that book, I decided it was important. You have to really kind of read between the lines in that book to really understand finding my process for forgiveness. And I decided I really owed it to people who maybe couldn't read between the lines with my memoir to share my process for forgiveness. So I created a short guidebook called Steps to Forgiveness. And that book we actually use, I'll distribute that at seminars and people can order that online. And that's just, if you just want to know the process, you just want to have something you can open and go, okay, this is step one in the process. This is step two. This is step three. You go to that book. I created a second book, Walking Through the Shadows, which is about the year after my ex-husband's passing. And I created that book because so many people were amazed at how well my children grieved and how we got through the grief process as a family. And as I was going through the process, I was watching other family members with their grief and how they handled it. And I really wanted to share with people how, you know, unfortunately, death happens. It's going to happen to all of us. It's a natural part of life. And how we get through grief is such an important thing. And so I felt like I had a mission and a commitment to share that with people as well. So that's what the second book's about, Walking Through the Shadows. And you can probably guess there'll be a guidebook to go along with that too. So that's where the book series started. And there's a third book planned, but that's a couple years out. In between the second and third book, I have plans to write a cookbook called Forgiveness is a Cookie that my readers and followers have been asking me to write a cookbook because I do a lot of posting of recipes. And from the first book, if you read through the first book, it talks about how I use cooking to sort of help plant the seeds of forgiveness. So I find myself creating content and books and things that my followers and readers are wanting.
That's beautiful. And I'm very excited about that cookbook. I love to cook as well.
I know.
So I'm like, that's great. Seeds of Forgiveness. I love that. But that's an important thing. And it's so great that when you start to build your following, then you're really creating for your customers. They're telling you what they want. And it just makes things so much easier.
Oh, it is. And I'm so, you know, I'm so excited. I created a series of meditation apps all around forgiveness. And I have people already asking, well, when are the meditation apps for grief going to be available? Like, those were so good. Like, are you going to make some for people that are going through grief? And it's so exciting to be able to create things that, you know, people want.
Yeah, it is. Makes it that much more beautiful to hand it off to them because they're definitely solving their problem.
Exactly.
So with your books, did you self-publish and what was your process and thought process there?
Yes, I actually have self-published. I started my own publishing company called Little White Dog Press. And I came to the decision to self-publish by attending a workshop in Chicago by Networlding Connections. It's a workshop that's done once a year by a woman who's a ghostwriter for a lot of people. And she does this workshop for writers to help them get started writing their books. And I hadn't started writing the first book yet. I didn't even know how to go about writing a book. So I attended her workshop. And during the workshop, she explained the different opportunities for self-publishing versus seeking out a publisher. And I quickly decided that I was going to go down the self-publishing route. Frankly, it's so easy today to self-publish. The only caution that I give people is it's really important if you're going to self-publish to find a really, really strong editor. And if you're someone that's not a strong writer, then it's important to have a really strong ghostwriter for you that will really take your story and put it together in a way that makes sense. So I found a great editor that I've worked now with on both books, and self-publishing, she helps me through the whole process. And with Amazon.com and CreateSpace these days, it's super easy to self-publish.
Yeah, it's always my recommendation. And then you own everything. You retain everything.
Exactly. Well, I was approached by a publisher with the first book that somehow they heard about it before it had even been published. And they were approached, and the contract they sent over, oh my gosh, was so one-sided. And I was already through most of the design process myself, so I didn't really understand what the benefit was going to be. And one of the realities about having a publisher is, and I'm sure you know this, is that a publisher isn't going to help you with the things that you most need the help with, which is PR and distribution. And I actually attended a conference last December. I was actually going to look for a publisher for the second book. I thought, okay, this is my thing. My second book, I want to go with a big publisher. Now that I've got the first book down, they can read that. I've got a proven track record. Well, the two things I really wanted a publisher for was for PR and to help me distribute my book. And those were two of the things. They said, we have to be honest with you. Those aren't things we're going to help you with. So to me, why pay a publisher then? Why pay someone to help you? Or why give up so much of your autonomy to just be published by a big name when you can go publish yourself? And with Amazon, that's where everyone goes to buy a book anyway. And yeah. I'm also in Barnes & Noble. When you're in Amazon, Barnes & Noble eventually will pick you up as well. So you're in the two biggest places you need to be.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I find it's interesting, and I'll let my listeners know that I am actually in the process of creating a product for authors specifically, because it is, there is the confusion between, do I self-publish, do I go with the publisher? But the whole, what you need is the marketing and your platform. So I've had so many authors coming to me lately. It's been fascinating. And so now I see my need. I'm getting, my clients are giving me what they need. And so it'll be about for authors creating their whole platform so that it's not just the book, but the whole piece, which is what they think a regular publisher is going to provide but isn't provided, because they still look to you to create your own marketing, your own followers, your own platform. And if you don't have that behind you, then you just have a book.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that claim that they can help you do that, but they don't really, some of these big publishers will be like, oh, well, we'll help you with that. We'll help you with your marketing. But what they mean is they'll put together some flyers for you or maybe help you put together a press kit. But to your point, there's a very specific, building a platform is a very specific set of things that you need to execute. And that you can offer that to authors is fabulous.
Yeah, I'm excited. So my listeners can stay tuned for that. It's coming soon.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing?
Probably I'm my own worst enemy. Just trying to break it down into small chunks and keep executing every day. You know, I'm thinking at 30,000 feet, I can see the bigger picture. I get distracted easily. And to try to keep my feet on the ground and execute every day gets kind of hard. And it's hard when you're an author and working on your own. It's kind of a solitary sort of space. You know, when you're writing, you're alone. And then when you're creating your marketing and trying to create PR opportunities, you're doing that by yourself. And it's hard to stay motivated. That's probably my hardest thing, is to just stay motivated every day, executing the little bits and pieces that need to be done.
It's so true. When we work from home, like, I always laugh, I can go a couple days and not really talk to anybody else.
I know.
In person. Let me see somebody.
I start talking to the dog. Of course, he is Little White Dog Press, so it makes sense. But he doesn't contribute much in our meetings.
I love it. So as an entrepreneur, what is the one piece of software you absolutely could not live without?
Oh, so my new huge thing that I'm using is Evernote. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
I use it all the time. I love it.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I just got exposed to it, I think about 5 months ago. It literally has transformed my life. I used to wake up in the middle of the night thinking or writing or, oh my God, I got to remember this, or, oh, I just thought of this great idea. And I had them all swimming around my head and I had nowhere to put them. And with Evernote, oh my gosh, I've got a file folder for future projects. I have a file folder now for the cookbook that's, you know, a year away. But if I ever have a thought about it, I just drop it right in, or I can take a picture. You can take a picture and drop it in. I love it. Best thing.
It's fantastic. And they have the audio thing too. You can speak it and then it holds your audio. It's wonderful. I don't know what I'd do without it.
Yeah. So that's my big, whenever anyone says, well, how do you stay organized? Evernote.
So looking back at your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
So you're probably going to laugh, but after 2 years, and just most recently, I realized this, I wish I could go back and do it again exactly the way that it's happened, but I wish I could have enjoyed the journey more. I wish I wouldn't have had so much anxiety around knowing that this was the thing to do. I wish I had trusted more in the universe, working it out, and not come at creating this brand and building this platform from such the business side that I came from. I wish I had had better balance and enjoyed the journey a little more. I was so anxious with the first book and so high strung about it. The second book's been an absolute joy. People are amazed at how more low key I am, but it's because I realize now that, you know, worrying about the future is pointless, because you need to live in the moment and everything has a way of working itself out when it's supposed to work out. So that's the only thing I'd do different. The journey has been a good journey and a quick journey. I just wish I had spent more time having better balance and enjoying it more.
Balance is so key. Remember, you're right. We miss it. We look up and we're like, what happened?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I would have spent more time enjoying that moment. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So any last bit of advice you have to someone who's thinking about starting their business, hesitating to go down the road of following their life's passion? What little golden nugget do you have?
So I guess probably my biggest piece of advice would be that you really have to want it. Like, you really, it's one thing to feel passionate about something, but you have to want it because there's so many obstacles and hurdles you're going to face. And you're going to hear a lot of no, and you're going to get discouraged a lot. You just have to, if you really are passionate, you know this is what you're supposed to be doing, you've got to push on and push through. And remember that you are it. You are the brand. You are what people want. You and your information is what people are going to gravitate towards and what they want. And to get out there and feel comfortable in your own skin as quickly as you can.
Beautiful advice. Love it. So if my listeners wanted to find you and find out more about forgiveness in your books, where would they find you?
So I have a website. It's www.walkingbeyond.com. It's walkingbeyond.com. And all of my products and services are up there. And if anyone's interested in having me speak to any groups, you can reach out to me and connect with me through there. There are also links to all of my social media if you'd like to follow me.
Fantastic. Well, I love all of the marketing advice and how it was tied in so beautifully with Mind, Body, Spirit. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kimberly. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.